Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you've been able to see, like I've seen, the faithfulness of God over these last several weeks, but He has been faithful. He has brought so many people through so many things that were afraid of their job situations, through their business, through health issues and different things, but God is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise You, Father. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness towards us, God. And as we're faithful towards each other, and especially as we're faithful towards You, just more of Your blessing flows through us, through our families, through our church, God. We need revival in this nation, Lord Jesus. And we pray and we cry out that You would send Holy Spirit revival, Lord, among Your churches and then throughout this nation, God. We need it. We need Your peace. We need Your grace. We need Your love. We need everything that You have for us that only comes from the Father above. Every good gift, every grace, and we praise You. We praise You. We love You. That's our declaration. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Father God. We love You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for all that You do, friend, for who You are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all right to clap. You can clap if you want. Just go for it. Just go for it. Don't be hesitant. No one else has to. You can just do it. You can. There you go, Carol. You got it. You got it. You've got it. Wow. You know, we talk about God's faithfulness. One of the things that I have been so amazed by, one of the many things over these last several weeks, is how faithful God's people have been. We think about giving, right? A lot of churches were freaking out not having church because they know a lot of their members don't give unless they're in church. But, and Harold can attest to this, our giving has been so steady over these years. Thank God for a church filled with people who understand the concept of tithing and offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to also just thank all the volunteers. Now, you might think, well, when we close the doors, no one's been here for 2.5 months or so, except the worship team and me preaching to an empty building. But no, we've had so many people that have contributed and helped keep the facility functioning and doing a lot. When you leave here, if you have a few minutes and you haven't done so, take a tour, go upstairs, look around, look through the nursery. Don't touch anything. We don't want to have to clean it again. But take a look around just at some of the changes that have been made. And then there's going to be more changes, and I'm not going to even talk about that yet this morning. Basic things like the roof and the parking lot, things like that. You'll see the cones outside. All that was supposed to have been done last week, but the weather was not cooperative. So as they got pushed back, so did our project, and that's a whole nother story. But God is still faithful. There's a reason. There's timing involved in everything. But I do want to thank all the volunteers. I want to thank, I'm just going to go over, this is a long list. But look, we're the first service back. So I got basically like 8 weeks of time, right, built up that I can use this morning. First of all, let me just thank Donna Beaver. Prayer still goes out. There's things that still take place. There's still people that need prayer. There's still people that we've lost a couple of our members over these last couple months, and Donna's been really so helpful with doing things for each of them, so I just want to thank her for her faithfulness, for her consistency in doing that. Also, Harold, been faithfully coming in still every Tuesday usually to help with the bookkeeping and get all that done, I'm just thankful that he does it so I don't have to. Thank you, Harold, very much. And then just a bunch of other people. I'm going to try to go through this list pretty quick. But the cleaning teams, we still had people that came and cleaned the building. Now, there wasn't as much to clean, but they still were faithful in coming to clean and take care of different things. And obviously, the mowing had to be taken care of every week. So Larry Basso's in charge of both of those teams. And so thank God for him, and thank God for all the volunteers that help with that. Also, if you do get a chance to go upstairs, there's a lot of painting that's taking place up there. Beautiful, beautiful amazing mural that's on the wall and other designs up there. And I just want to thank one person that helped with a lot of that, and that's Lydia Connor, who came and she kind of mapped out all the different colors and where they went up there. So that was very helpful. Thank you, Lydia. Also, the deacons, you know, we still had board meetings. We still had to talk about things and go over things. And so I just want to thank every deacon. That would be Lynn Connor and Josh Hill and Kevin Mattson, James Statesel, and Mark Statesel. We still got together at least once a month, if not more, just to talk about things. And they were a big help to me. I also want to thank Dennis Fite just for wisdom during these last 2 months about certain things and different things, but and also just keeping in touch. He was so good to keep in touch, especially with our seniors, and just encourage them and see what was going on in their lives. So thank you, Pastor. I wanted to thank Sean and our worship team, who were faithful every week to come here and just pour as much energy and spirit into the worship, even though there weren't anyone here, knowing that so many of you were watching online. And that was something amazing, too, to see. We had our Easter service online. We had over 1,500 people, I think, watch online for that service. So, also want to thank Chris Loy and Lauren D'Angelo. They did a lot of the editing of these services, which in the beginning kind of was overwhelming because we didn't know what we were doing. And so, but eventually they've been really good with figuring out to make the process a little bit easier. So we couldn't, and Phil Archer too would come and help with the audio. So those three were key with getting these services out every single week. So I want to thank them. Also want to thank Becky Fite and Joe Henderson, who have done so much too. Becky, especially yesterday, was just relieving a lot of the things. I don't know if you knew, like, I kept thinking of things that needed to get done, and then Becky volunteered. Joe helped immensely with our safety team and just doing different things to make me less preoccupied with things thinking about. So I wanted to thank them. Larry Basso and Janet. I mean, amazing what they've done these last 2 months. There's too much to even mention. So many things that Larry's done and fixed. So it's just amazing to have someone like Larry and Janet that you can count on, that you can depend on when you need them. Now, here's a big, big thank you. Huge, big, 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 big thank you to Dwayne Miller and Tammy and their family, Maggie and Joel. They were here probably more than me over these last several weeks. Just, I mean, organizing things upstairs. Everything is in a box somewhere now, and you know where to go to find it. And just doing the painting upstairs, and he built the puppet stage that we've talked about for so long, and just all these different things. And it's just been phenomenal. It's just so amazing. I'd be here, you know, many, many Saturdays when he would come and he'd make his children's church videos, and then he'd stay and he would just help us with whatever needed to be done. Sometimes we were here till 7, 8 o'clock at night, and he was so faithful. And Tammy's been here, like, I'm sure, saying, "Why, Dwayne, when are you coming home? Finally, you need to spend some time at home." But, man, it's just been awesome working with them, getting to know them better. And if you don't know, Dwayne is also overseeing our children's church now. So he's got so much energy. Thank God, because I don't have the energy for children's church. So, but he's got so many ideas. If you have kids or grandkids that are in first grade through sixth grade and you want them to be ministered to and get on fire for the Lord, you're going to want to bring them to Dwayne's Children's Church, and that's going to probably start up again in July. We're going to take off. There's a lot of things that we're postponing for the month of June. So Children's Church, our nursery department, Sunday school, just to, you know, there's no way you can plan for this completely. You don't know how things are going to work. So we tried to take a step back a little bit and just ease into this reopening. So, but you're going to want your kids involved, for sure. I guarantee it. Anyway, he made these bags. How many of kids here today have the bag, right? Him and Tammy and Maggie put these together, and I think I think Haley had some ideas, too, that went into these bags. And so just they're always thinking of things to do for the kids. So that's been really, really awesome. And then I don't see her in here, but my last person to thank her is Angie, my wife. I would have went crazy these last 2 months if Angie was like just a solid rock. You know, we know Jesus is, but you need somebody in your life that is like that rock. And Angie was that. Every time I'd get stressed out, she was that calming, kind of with that encouraging word. Sometimes I didn't want to hear it, but she would bring it anyway. I cannot imagine. I mean, she did so much. We had to homeschool our kids for the last 2 months. And she's working full-time from home, and I still had a lot to do here, so I was here a lot. I know a lot of you thought I was just on the beach somewhere, probably, or down at the lake. But I was still here doing stuff. It was like almost like in a way, a weird way, I was almost more busy just thinking of things and doing things. But she was at home working full-time and trying to manage three kids, going, you know, making sure all their work was, it's just amazing. She is amazing, amazing, amazing. I thank God every day for her. And my family have been so good. God is good. He is good. Amen. Amen. Now, the first Sunday of every month is usually Communion Sunday. Now, over 6 weeks ago, I ordered pre-filled communion cups. But so did every other church in America. So they're still on their way. As soon as we get them, we will partake of communion together and do that. I'll explain. We're going to do offering a little bit differently, too, at the end of service. But I think that's kind of everything. But again, just thank the Lord for, I thank the Lord, again, for my family, for Angie, for all of you. This last 2 months have been something I don't think any of us have ever experienced before in any kind of, but we pulled together and God was faithful and here we are. It's kind of surreal in a way, but it's awesome. Amen? Amen. Let's get into the message this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. If you've been reading and staying with our chronological reading, okay, then you know that we just pretty much have completed the book of Proverbs. I'm going to stay in the book of Proverbs. Now, I know before the pandemic hit, I was trying to take every week's readings and pull out a message of that week and then share something on Sunday morning. I just feel like I was praying to God this whole week, like, Lord, it's the first service back. You've got to have some amazing message for your people, for Pebble Creek, not just, for Pebble Creek, for the people watching, a message. And then this last week, right, in addition to me praying for a message, our nation has been just through turmoil this past week. So many things, and I'm thinking, Lord, when we come back, do I just want to stay completely, what is it that is, and what is the book of Proverbs about when you boil it down? It's wisdom. That's something our nation needs right now. Our politicians, our people, our police departments, our everybody, business owners, Christians, we need the wisdom of God. Not just wisdom, we need wisdom. And so the message this morning is entitled Wisdom or Wisdom. Okay? We're going to talk about the importance of operating in God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Because man's wisdom is wisdom many, many times. And so we're gonna get into that and talk about that this morning. And I want to cover, this is going to be a series. It's not going to be one just today. This is going to be a series over the next few weeks, however long it takes. Because this needs to be something that we just get instilled in us. Because sometimes we need to be reminded about what is God's wisdom. What is it that he expects of his people? I can't control anybody in this room. I can encourage you. I can you know, give you words of wisdom from the Word, but you have to receive that wisdom, and you have to act on that wisdom, or there's not going to be any change that takes place. And so, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about seven pillars of wisdom that the book of Proverbs talks about, and how to put those seven pillars into practice in your own life, how to receive those seven pillars, how to build that, in a way, that foundation of wisdom to help us with anything, but especially through this. You know, we need a lot of wisdom to get through the last 2 months, right? I mean, I hope you've been praying for the president and for the politicians and for the health professionals. They need prayer. There's been a lot of criticism about everything going on, but I'm just reminded every time I start to complain about something, have I prayed about it? When I start complaining about some politician, have I prayed for them? Have I prayed for them and then complain about them? Right? You can, as long as you pray about it, then you can complain all you want. That's not wise, just to let you know. Okay. This is going to be our foundational verse that we're going to use in this series. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Let me read it again. Wisdom is the principal thing. What is the principal thing? What's the main thing? The priority. Wisdom. And then he says, therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. Okay? So wisdom is the principal thing. It should be the priority of our life, the focus of our life, is how to get God's wisdom. This isn't just wisdom in general. It's not just opening an encyclopedia and reading it. It's how do we get God's wisdom, and how do we apply it? How do we put it into practice in our lives? A few years ago, a couple years ago. Now, I've done some unwise things. I know you're shocked to hear that. But in my life, I have done, and I know you have too, so we're all on the same page here. We've all done unwise things. A couple of years ago, I think, I wanted I was going to make or bake a pizza in our oven. And what do you do before you can put anything in the oven? What do you have to do? You have to preheat it. Now, what should you do before you preheat your oven? You should look inside the oven, right? Well, there's nothing. Why would there be anything in an oven? That, you know, I didn't see Angie use it, right, lately. So I just turned it up, you know, to whatever, preheat, went in the living room, was watching TV, waiting for it to preheat. And then I think it was Abby, might have been Sophie, she came in and very, very calmly said, "Dad, I think the oven's on fire." And I said, "What?" And I jumped up, and I ran in the kitchen, and sure enough, the oven was on fire. Flames coming out of it, and I'm like, now that was unwise enough. Now, it gets even more unwise, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to ruin our oven, so I'm not going to use the extinguisher, because that might ruin it. So I opened it, and flames, right? And I'm like, and I grabbed a bag of flour, and I just started shaking that bag in there. And that wasn't working. So then I got pitchers of water, and I'm throwing this water in there, putting these flames. I could have baked a cake. I had like almost like all the ingredients almost. And so finally got it out. It was a mess. What had happened was there were some plastic, like Tupperware stuff. So that had all melted, right, all over the inside of the oven. And I just stood there looking at it. Angie wasn't at home, so I'm like, which kid can I blame this on? But so I thought for sure it was ruined. But you know what? Angie's brother John came to visit a few weeks after that, and he cleaned that whole thing. Angie and him both cleaned that entire thing, fixed it. We're still using it today, so thank God for that. But it wasn't too wise the way that I went about that. So, but I'm sure all of us could probably think of a time and an incident where they probably didn't use wisdom in things. And when we don't use wisdom, we can very easily hurt ourselves, hurt our family, right? That could have been horrendous. I mean, it did damage the ceiling in our kitchen and different things, but it could have been a lot worse if not for the grace of God and an alert daughter to come in and warn me what was taking place. Now, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever been angry with your kids, okay? I try not to call them stupid. Like, I try to say, though, boy, what you did was really dumb. This was really stupid, okay? So when I'm talking about stupid thing, I'm not calling anyone in here stupid. You're not stupid. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're not stupid. Plus, I think Jesus warns against calling your brother dumb or stupid anyway. So I'm not calling, but we do stupid things. I do stupid things. I'm not looking around, but I know some of you have done really, I'm looking up there now. I don't mean to be looking at you guys, but we've all done stupid things. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Now, sometimes we are wise in our own eyes, right? Sometimes we really think we know certain things. We used to own some rental properties, and I thought I knew about electricity a little bit one time. So I was over at one of them. I was by myself, and I was replacing the linoleum floor in one of the kitchens. I have no idea why. I thought, you know what? I couldn't really get behind the stove. I wanted to make, you know, and then so I took the stove out and laid the, and then, you know, the little, like, junction box thing where you plug the stove into was in the floor. And I'm like, I don't know why. No one would see this, but I'm like, I want to get the linoleum, like, around this so that it looks so, but nobody would see it. And plus, renters usually trash the kitchen anyway, so I'd be doing it again. But I thought I'd be thorough. So I removed the box, the plastic top off of the, you know, the where you plug it in. And I was putting it around, and I turned, and I put my hand right on top of it. I didn't turn the power off. I'm going to tell you, that'll wake you up in the morning right there. And thank God, you know, they tell you electricity, if you grab it, you might not be able to let go because you just latch onto. Well, I didn't grab it. I just had my hand open. When I touched it, it just shot my hand off, and I just felt this bolt of electricity go up, you know, through my arm. And I thought, that was dumb. That was not using wisdom. You know, a lot of people die prematurely because they do dumb things. They do dumb things. So don't be wise. Don't be overly confident in yourself. Use wisdom. Pray. Pray before you do anything. So again, what's the principal thing? Wisdom. And with all that, getting wisdom, get understanding, right? It's the priority. It's the focus. Right? That's what we're going to be focusing on over these next few weeks. That's what we're focusing on today. Are you seeking God and his wisdom? Are you pursuing his wisdom? Are you looking for God's wisdom and his righteousness? Are you seeking him first? Are you putting him first? Are you pursuing the kingdom and his righteousness first? Right? That's wise to do that. Because we're told to. Anything that God tells us to do, we would be wise to do it. Amen? Okay. Maybe not. I don't know. Hopefully by the end of this message, you might have a different opinion about that. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 4, 7 through 9. It says, "Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment or understanding," in the King James. "If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown." When we live a life of wisdom, okay, pursuing wisdom, living with wisdom, making wise decisions, blessings and benefits follow that. Blessings and benefits follow when we pursue wisdom, when we do things that God considers wise. Before I became a Christian, now I didn't become a Christian until I was 19. I didn't pray to receive Christ until after I graduated high school. I was on a full-time job working for a fire department. And I'm not going to go into my story of how I got saved, but I was about 19 when I finally, in a way, sought God's wisdom on my life. Up until then, I didn't have a horrible life, but there was a lot of destructive things that I was doing. I was in college. I was in a fraternity. You can imagine some of the stuff that you do when a 19-year-old in college in a fraternity. So it was destructive. It wasn't good. And trying to live a Christian life in that environment, let me tell you, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And when you're... We talked about this on Wednesday night in our question and answer thing, but who you surround yourself with, who you hang out with, is going to impact you. So, you know, if you have an unsaved friend and you invite them to come out with you when you're going out with your Christian friends, then your group can influence that person. But when you're just hanging out with a bunch of unbelievers, a bunch of pagans... a bunch of people that just want to party and have a good time, guess what? It's a lot difficult. It's more especially when you're a new Christian, and it's just confusing. So it was several years. It really wasn't until probably I met Angie that I really started to take my faith seriously, where I made a full commitment to God. And when we moved here, that was the first commitment, or the first thing that Angie and I determined to do was to find a church to go to, because that was something I never did. I never was a part of a church from the time I was 19 and got saved until I was 27 or so. Never went to church anywhere consistently. Went to church a couple times, but never consistently. I knew that it would be a wise thing to do to find a church that preached the gospel, that preached the word of God. And again, I don't want to be here all day, but then at the time, a church that was a spirit-filled church wasn't on my list, but I found out it was on Angie's list. Thank God it was on Angie's list. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. It says, "My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life." How many of you want a long, good life? Okay. It's too late for some of you because you... No, I'm just kidding. My child, listen to me and do as I say. It's never too late to begin listening to God. It's never too late. Like, your life might have been a mess until today, but today's a new day, right? There was a time in my life where I finally had to say, enough with the nonsense, enough with living unwise, enough with just being, you know, this complicated, kind of just up and down Christian. This isn't the way. There's no way God wants this for me. There's no way. I need to fully commit. You know, there's the thing. God may be your Savior, and He was my Savior, but He wasn't my Lord. If He's your Lord, then He makes the rules. And as my Lord, I follow Him. He gets to tell me what to do. That's the transaction. Now, we are free, right? The Spirit has set us free from, what, the law of sin and death, set us free from being enslaved to the enemy, all these things, but... we're not just free now to do whatever we want. We're now free to follow the perfect will of God for our lives, right? So we make that commitment. "So my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life." They are the key. The key to life. God's word and His ways are the key to life. It's the key. Proverbs 9, verse 11 says, "Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life." Now, a lot of people believe that when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Nothing you can do about it. God has set certain days or years for you, and you can't do anything to change that. I don't believe it, even though I've heard it at funerals said, and you know, it was Joe's time to go. Not necessarily. okay? I don't think God's will is to necessarily take anyone before the time. That's why things like suicide, why are we so opposed to abortion? Maybe it's just that baby's time to go. We don't think that way, right? Now, we say those kinds of things to comfort people, but sometimes we just do dumb things that lead to a premature death. It could be drugs, alcohol. It could be one of the big things right now. Angie and I are attempting to teach Abby to drive a car. So that's just a warning to all of you right now. So I'll try to send out a text. Abby's on the streets. Be careful. But we're trying, you know, and you're thinking of, okay, what were all the dumb things I did when I was learning how to drive? You know, I'm thinking about, you know, on our street it's kind of weird because it's kind of a dangerous thing to get out into traffic or even to turn on our street sometimes because, you know what, people don't pay attention. So when I'm, you know, we have we live right off of Nolan Road, just a few blocks down. And so when we're coming north on Nolan, I have to turn left across traffic. Well, Nolan's just one lane. And you come up over a hill and then you turn. And I'm always look behind me to see how fast is that person going behind me. So I try to start signaling way ahead of time, slowing down. But you know what? Sometimes people do not pay attention. They're distracted usually by a phone, right? And so, I mean, there's been at least two times where I was going to turn, and I just see behind me that car is not stopping. And so I would just go. And sometimes they've hit the car behind me that stopped. So people don't pay attention. And that, again, they don't pay attention. And right here, it says God's word, God's way is the key to life. Appointed time. A lot of times we preempt that appointed time because we do dumb things that God is, it's not in his will for us to do, and it impacts people. Let's look at this. It says in that verse, I'm trying to find where I just read it. Well, we know that what is the commandment about parents? What does it say? Honor. Honor your father and mother, right? And that's even, I think, in the New Testament, in places it's expanded upon. Honor your father and mother to have a long, prosperous life on the earth. Like, they go hand in hand. How you treat your parents, and not just when you're under 18, but your whole life, how you treat your parents has impact on how much of a blessed life that you live, right? So, honoring your parents brings blessing on your life, but you can reverse that. Dishonoring your parents can bring a curse upon your life. So we need to honor them. If they have passed away, we can still honor their memory. We don't have to criticize them and say everything they ever did wrong and how it's, you know, my life is a mess because of what they did to me when I was 6 years old. Eventually, we're responsible. We're adults, right? And we can break that. God wants us to walk in forgiveness and love towards everybody, but towards our parents especially. And so discipline, you might not understand this, but discipline is a form of love, right? God disciplines his children because he loves them. A wise parent disciplines their kids because he or she loves them. Now, the kids don't think that. But when they grow up and have kids, they'll understand exactly how wise their parents were to discipline them. It's actually, again, you can flip it. It is a form of hating your kids not to discipline them. We need to be wise, though, in how we discipline. All my three kids, each one's different on how you discipline them. One, you just have to look at. Give them a look. And they... Oh, another one, you have to just kind of, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You know what you're doing? And just a discussion, usually that solves it, and they go... Other one, you have to kind of beat halfway to death in order to get... No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to. It seems like you do sometimes, but they're different. So as a parent, we have to be wise, and we can't treat all of our kids exactly how we discipline them the same because they all react differently. to discipline. They're at different stages of their understanding as well. So we need wisdom on how to do that, how to do those things. We need wisdom to build our homes. We need wisdom on how to build a home that honors God, that flows in the Spirit, that honors each other. That takes wisdom. It takes a lot of wisdom. How to build our lives. It takes a lot of wisdom to build a life that's pleasing to the Lord. It takes wisdom to do the things but we have to search it out, but it takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to build a church. Now, we know Jesus is the one that builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But as leaders, you know, in the church, we need a lot of wisdom, whether it's deacons, whether it's the staff, whether it is other leaders in different areas, different departments. It takes a lot of wisdom to do things the way that God wants it done, the way that builds a church that's going to last. You know, if the Lord doesn't return, and I don't know how he can't, I'm telling you, looking at everything going on, it looks like he might return tomorrow, right? All the warning signs, all the birth pangs are there. But if he doesn't for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's going to take wisdom to build a church that lasts even when none of us are here anymore. And so that takes wisdom. In Luke, let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, 39 through 40. Says when, now this is the story of Jesus. He's a child, he's a young person, about, it'll go through different ages, but he's still a young child at this point. And it says, when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, and there the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was upon him. Do you pray these things over your kids? That they would be filled with God's wisdom? They would be filled with the Spirit? You want to hopefully keep your kids out of problems in high school or junior high? Pray and help them receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That will help them avoid a lot of problems. Anyway, that's for another, that would be wise. So, Jesus, it says he grew up healthy and strong, right? We pray for our kids. Do we want them to grow up to be healthy and strong? We use this as kind of like a thing, as a template to pray over, healthy and strong, filled with wisdom, and we pray for God's favor to be upon them. I love that song. How many of you heard the Blessing by Carrie Job? Elevation Worship, right? The Blessing, it takes that. Where is that from, Pastor? In the Old Testament? That's the priestly blessing, right? Right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, right? They took that and made it into a song, and it's just phenomenal, but it talks about the blessing on your children and their children and their children, that blessing upon them, favor upon them. Okay, now, how many of you have ever lost your kid? You can be honest. Gone to the mall or gone to an amusement park and turned your head for a split second, and they're gone. How many of you ever left your kid at a gas station when you're taking a trip somewhere? Anybody out there? I'm just wondering. I don't know. No one's admitting that. That's fine. That's okay. You know that Jesus' parents left him one day in Jerusalem. And, you know, back then, so three times a year, you're required, if you're a Jewish person, to go to Jerusalem for one of the big feasts, okay, one of the big festivals, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles in the fall. And so back in that day, too, you would go, you just, like, your whole town would go with you. So you'd have your whole family, not just your immediate family, but you'd have uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents. You'd have this long, this like entourage of people going down. You go there and then you go back home the same way. And probably if, you know, I think about at Pebble, now we're trying to be better with our security for kids and checking our kids in and all that stuff. But a lot of times, especially in the past, you just come, you get out of the car and, all right, go to your class. And they'd take off and go. And I imagine, like, it was just like, yeah, well, Jesus is with, you know, Uncle Shlomo, or I don't know, you know, whoever, right? Don't worry, he's always with somebody talking about something, and then so they made it, it talks about they made it almost all the way back, like 2 days journey away, and realized that Jesus wasn't there. Now, that's pretty bad to forget Jesus somewhere, right? So they had to go back, and could you imagine if you had, let's say you were taking a trip, and you ever see Home Alone or anything like, right? You're on a trip, right? And let's you realize, oh my goodness, where Bobby Sue is back at wherever, and it's going to take you 2 days to get back there, and there's no phone back then. There's not. Could you imagine? Oh, God's going to be pretty upset that we lost this kid, right? He promised us this kid, and you know. Oh, boy. So could you imagine what's going through their head all the way back? And where did they find Jesus when they got back? In the temple, right? Having a discussion. Everyone was sitting around listening to him. And he's just probably like 12 years old or something. Now, if one of you went missing, how I would love to think, oh, they're just in the prayer room. But scanning this place... that might be where I find you. Might be at Walmart. I don't know where it would be. But wouldn't that be great if your kid went missing and you said, oh, don't worry, they're just in the prayer room. They're just at church somewhere. That's where they're going to go. If they get lost, they're going to go and they're just going to search for God. They're going to want to be in God's presence. That's where we can find them. Well, look at what this says right here. Let's skip down to verse 49. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 49. When they finally come back and they confront Jesus, Jesus says, but why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? He's like, didn't you know? Why were you worried? You knew where I would be. I have to be in my Father's house. That's where you're going to find me. In Luke, in verse 50, it says, but they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Now pay attention to verse 52. This is such an interesting verse. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now we think about it. Here's Jesus. He's the embodiment. He's the incarnate Christ. He's God in the flesh. 100% God. 100% human. But it says here that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor. Not in favor just with man. Somehow he grew in favor with God? What does that mean? You mean that Jesus didn't have all of God's favor upon him? That he grew in favor? Now, I use that too when I pray for my kids. The same thing. Lord, I pray, Lord, may, you know, our kids grow in wisdom, Lord, to grow in stature and in favor with you and with all their friends, all of the people that they come into contact with. Lord, may your favor rest upon them. Now, you know, when you become a believer, you have God's favor now. When you pray to receive Jesus Christ, God's favor comes upon you. But you know, you might have his favor, but you know what? You still need to search it out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, I have God's favor. But what does that mean in your life? How does that work out to have God's favor upon you, right? I have God's favor, but I need to learn how to access it. I need to learn how to move and how to live in it, right? Now, I can grow. We all can grow. Can we all admit we all need to grow in God's favor? We all need to understand, comprehend what that means. And I'll also tell you this, it's really hard to help anybody if you don't have favor in their life. They don't want to listen to you unless you have favor. God can give you that favor. You know, we can do a lot of things that destroy that favor by how we talk, how we interact with people. But we need favor with people to actually impact them, to have influence with them. We need the favor of God, and we have to have favor with them. And it tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom. So that means I can grow in wisdom. If Jesus could grow in wisdom, I need to grow in wisdom. right? I need to grow in wisdom as well. And you can grow in wisdom. And so let's talk about these seven pillars in the house of wisdom. They're found in Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. It mentions seven pillars. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 through 6 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns or pillars." Okay? Verse 2, "She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city, 'Come in with me,' she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, 'Come eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed, leave your simple ways behind, and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment.'" Now, it says, wisdom says, "Come in with me." Like, we pray for everyone in this community that doesn't have a church, doesn't have a relationship with Christ, to come and dine with us at Pebble Creek. We invite them to come and be discipled and to grow in their faith or to become saved to begin with. And then he says, to those who lack good judgment, right, she says, "Come eat my food." Now, Jesus is the bread of life. Right? Jesus is the bread of life. And then it goes on to say in this verse, "And drink the wine that I've mixed." Now, what is the wine? When we partake of communion, what does the grape juice represent? The blood of Jesus. Right? It is very wise to get as much of Jesus inside you as you can, which is symbolized when we take communion, when we partake of the bread, which is the body of Christ, and we partake of the juice, which is the represents the blood of Christ, to get that inside of us and then mix it with faith. When we understand, what did Jesus on the cross, when he took, what did that accomplish for us? Dying on the cross, being crucified, being tortured. He took our punishment. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. So we need to understand what his body, what his sacrifice has purchased, what his blood does for us. The blood of Christ washes away all our sins, redemption, sanctification, all these things. We need to understand what that means, and it's wisdom to search out, what does this mean? It's not just a ritual we do once a month. It reminds us of things, and it's wisdom to understand what we're doing when we do those types of traditions. A lot of people, and this was me, and if you would ask me when I was 20, 21, 22, did you love Jesus? I actually had one of the first training officers I ever worked with when I got out of the academy, before I even got in the car, the police car the first time, asked me, "Do you love Jesus?" I thought it was a trick question. I'm like, what's his angle here? Why is he asking me this? And I stood there just for a couple seconds. And then I thought, you know what? Scripture has come to your mind. Like, the Holy Spirit can just bring, and again, this wasn't a time period. I was like 23, 24 at the time. And I thought of the scripture, "He who denies me, I will deny him." I'm like, well, I'm not going to deny that I know Jesus. I love Jesus. He's like, "All right then, let's go to work." I think that was like God's way of testing me at that. You can look back at your life and see where God had little things, but he was there to get you to someplace else that he wants you to get to. And so we have to choose, though, what we're going to listen to. Are we going to listen to the Word of God or the Word of man? Right? Our kids, when they graduate high school or even in high school sometimes, are they going to trust what the Word of man says over what the Word of God says? When they go away to college, are they going to trust and continue trusting in what God says or what some professor says? When you go to church, are you going to trust what some preacher says, or you can compare it to what the scripture says? When you watch your favorite pastor or teacher on TV, are you just taking it in and not questioning everything? Or are you comparing it to the Word of God and what the Word of God says? We have to be like Bereans. Even when the Apostle Paul would come and preach, he said the Bereans were very noble because they would search the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was teaching them was true. We have to be people that search out God's wisdom and make sure that we're living according to that wisdom and not just to what we were taught growing up necessarily. Now, hopefully you were taught a lot of wise things, godly things, but a lot of us weren't. And we have to know what God's word says. We have to know what is wise. And so, you know, God says this, but man says this. We have a choice to make. We have a choice that we have to make. When you get a bad report from a doctor, we have a choice. We're going to believe his word. We're going to believe the word of God in relation to healing. Because we could get a report from a doctor, and we just can fall apart. And we just think about that report all day long, and it just messes with us and causes all kinds of worry. Or we can go to what God says about healing, about health, and focus on that. Focus on what God's word says and not on what man says. So let's talk about seven pillars in the house of wisdom. What are these seven pillars? Where can you find them? Spelled out for us, it's in Proverbs chapter 1. So turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 tells us what these seven pillars are. Verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is so true. They despise it. Our culture despises wisdom, godly wisdom. It despises it. It despises it. It attacks it. It undermines it. Everything they can do. Fools literally hate and despise wisdom and instruction. They cannot stand it. Now, we are not fools. Hopefully, there's no fool. I have Mr. T in my mind right now. I pity the fool. But no, there are no fools, I hope, watching or in here or in the fellowship hall right now. Do you love wisdom? Do you love God's instruction? Then you're not a fool. Now, you might not completely comprehend or understand it, but you're seeking it. So you're wise to be seeking it. Amen. In verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3 says, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Okay? There's no wisdom in our lives. There's no wisdom in our homes. There's no wisdom in the lives of our kids independent of the instruction of the ways of God. You cannot raise up bring up a child in the way they should go unless you are instilling in them the wisdom of God, the ways of God. And it's not just all us talking. They are watching us. Are we putting into practice the wisdom of God in our own lives? There's no wisdom anywhere. Your life, my life, our family's life, anywhere, this nation's life, independent of the instruction of the way of God. In verse 6, it talks about riddles. In the King James, it says dark sayings. God's wisdom is incomprehensible to the world. They do not understand it. It is incomprehensible. It's cloaked to the rebellious. It's hidden from the masses. Okay? It's hidden. Jesus says, broad is the way and wide is the path that leads to what? Destruction. But narrow is the way and straight is the path that leads to life, to Jesus. Okay? God's wisdom is foolishness to so many people out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Lost people cannot understand the way of God. It won't make sense to them. There's a lot that made no sense to me before I became a Christian. Right? Our carnal mind, what does it say? It's enmity against God. It's enmity against his ways. That's why, what do our minds have to be? Renewed. Our minds have to be renewed. Now, how are they renewed? Through the Word of God. Reading it, studying it, meditating on it, memorizing it. That's how our minds are renewed. I mean, there are things that don't make sense. How did Jesus say, if you want to find your life, what do you have to do? Lose it. Does that make sense to a natural? Yeah, I've got to lose my life in order to find it. That doesn't make any sense. Or how about, you know what didn't make sense to me? Tithing. I got to give away part of my money so that the rest of my money is, that doesn't make, how am I going to pay my bills every month if I'm giving away 10% of my money every month? That doesn't make sense. But when you put things into practice that God considers wisdom, that he tells us to do, then you see the wisdom of God. Amen. Too many times I've been able to pay, I don't even know how it worked, but we kept faithful even when our business was failing, but we stayed faithful and God stayed faithful and he pulled us through so many different things that we experienced. You know, we're told, if you want, we got to sow into people's lives. If we want friends, we have to be friendly. If we want to be loved, we have to love. We have to sow what we want into other people's lives. If we're not sowing it into their life and then expecting it to come back on us, that's not wise. That's presumption. That's not wisdom. Look how God's economy works. He says that, you know, God basically, those that have given something to and they've multiplied it, they've been fruitful, they're going to get more. Right? They're going to get more because they've been faithful with it. But what does he say? Those I've given talents to, those I've given abilities to, and they don't do anything with what I've given them, I'm going to take it away from them. And I'll give it to someone else that's using it. You know, we're told in this culture constantly, we need to take from those who produce, we need to take from those who work, and give it to those who refuse to work. That is not wisdom. Amen. Right? You want to be happy financially? Live with a budget. And don't spend what you don't have. Our government is not using a lot of wisdom. Trillions of dollars they don't have. And they're spending it. How many of you like Star Trek? I know we're in church, so you're afraid to. I don't really like Star Trek. I'm more of a Star Wars guy. But I, you know, when you're not at church for 2 months, you start watching things you've never wanted to watch before. I still don't like Star Trek, but now I understand it more. I understand it better. Now I still can't do a Spock symbol. I just can't get my fingers to do the live long and prosper. I see some of you giving that satanic symbol. No, I'm just kidding. no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No. One of the things you learn from watching Star Trek is you don't want to be one of the guys in the red shirt. They usually don't make it to the end of the episode, right? So this is another, right? They're almost always get killed. If you've ever watched any episodes, the guys in the red shirts are just, they're going to get killed. If you see one, you know, you're not going to be around very long, buddy. Something's going to happen. You know, Klingon's going to get you or something. Never wear a red shirt. That's the one thing I noticed. Number two thing is, every time they got into a jam on some planet, what would they say? Beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of here, right? Beam me up. Now, there's this one, kind of like their constant enemies. They're these people called Romulans, okay? And their ships had this thing called a cloaking device. And it could become invisible. It was still there. It could still shoot lasers at you, but you couldn't see it, okay? And so there was still a danger, but you couldn't see them, all right? Now I'm going to kind of reverse that. God's word says that his wisdom is hidden from this world. It's like invisible. It's like that cloaking device. It's hidden. What reveals it, what reveals God's wisdom is the word, but it's also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the decloaking device. When you become a believer and you start studying His Word and you start fellowshipping and coming to church, all of a sudden God starts revealing those hidden things and He starts revealing them to you. You start discerning them. You start understanding them. Now you can put them into practice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus became the wisdom from God for us. So you want to know what it is to live a wise life, who should we be looking at? Should I be looking just at you, or should I be looking at Jesus? So I got to study the Gospels. I got to study His life. I got to study what the apostles wrote about Jesus, right? He is wisdom. So the bracelet, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do? We got to know what He would do, right? So again, the Holy Spirit is the uncloaking device. Have any of you ever experienced the Holy Spirit getting you out of a mess that you created? The Holy Spirit can get you out of a lot. I don't know how many messes He's got me out of. Let's move on. The Holy Spirit, He reveals the unseen things of the kingdom of God. Why? For our benefit. God wants us to know how to live in this world. So He reveals things to us, hidden dangers that the world cannot see coming. But we should be able to see them by the Spirit. And so let me wrap up this message this morning. I'm going to talk about the seven. I'm just going to lay them out, okay? Again, this is Proverbs chapter 1, 2 through 4. Here's the seven. All right, it begins by saying to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's the first pillar, understanding. Second one, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice. That's number two. Judgment is three. And equity is the fourth. To give subtlety, that's number five. To the simple, to the young man, knowledge is number six. And discretion is number seven. Those are the seven pillars, okay? That's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Now, I'm going to teach them in a different order because in my mind, it just makes a different order make sense to me when I go through it. So I'm going to teach beginning next week on the concept of knowledge. And then number two will be understanding, because I think you can get knowledge, but like if you go to school and you can gain a lot of knowledge, but you have to have understanding of how to put that knowledge into practice, which also goes along with wisdom. So I'm going to talk about knowledge and understanding, which is also discernment. The next one, I'm not really looking forward to talking about. I don't know how it's going to be received, but I'll be talking about judgment, okay? Judgment. Judgment, oh man, the devil's been really good, skillful at removing these seven pillars from our culture. And that's why we see the chaos and the mess that's out there. And we're going to, at least in this church, try to rebuild these pillars in our own families and our own lives. Number four I'm going to talk about in this order is justice, right? A lot of talk about justice today, but justice is really about rightness. It's about righteousness. I think a lot of the justice that we see talked about today is a lot. It's not real justice. It's bitterness. It's hate. It's revenge. That's not God's justice, okay? Now, what is the symbol of justice in America? You ever see Lady Justice, right? So I have a picture of Lady Justice there, right? She's got the scales, right, in her hand. Now, you notice what is around her eyes? A blindfold, because justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be equal, right? Justice is supposed to be no matter if you're black or white, rich or poor, a man or woman, a politician or a non-politician. True justice treats everyone equally. We don't see that. That's what you look at. Politicians pass laws they don't even have to follow themselves. Is that justice? So we see a lot of injustice, and we're gonna talk about that when we get to it. Number five, fifth thing I'll be talking about is equity. That's not the equity in your home. okay? It's fairness. We're going to talk about fairness and God's concept of fairness, which if your kids ever say, that's not fair, what do you say to them? Life's not fair, right? Life's not fair. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about discretion, number six, and then subtlety, which is can be, you think, subtlety. I remember the first time hearing that word subtlety, I thought immediately of Genesis 3, when it talks about that the serpent was the most subtle and wise of, right? So I'm thinking, wait a minute. Who's the serpent? Satan, right? And then we read in the New Testament, Jesus says that we need to be wise as the devil, the serpent, right? Wise as serpent, but gentle like dove. So what is that? What is that? What is Jesus talking about? You'll have to come back and find out. So again, concluding, Jesus embodies all seven of these. When you study the life of Jesus, you find all seven of these pillars in his life. And so we're going to pull those out. God has made Jesus unto us wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid? In Jesus. In Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you want to know about wisdom and knowledge, you have to have Jesus. You have to know Jesus. You have to have a relationship with Jesus and get to know him better. And as you get to know Jesus better, then you will be able to access more of God's wisdom and understanding and all these other things that we'll be talking about. And we're also going to learn that all seven of these pillars work together in perfect balance and harmony. The goal of my life and my heart, and I prayed a lot about this over these last 2 months, the goal of my life and my heart, and I pray it's the goal of your life and of your heart, would be that we would flow in the Spirit of God in a way that we're operating in the knowledge of God and proper application of that knowledge. So we read the Bible and we think, here's what he said, here's what God said, here's what he meant, and here's how I apply it. Here's what I'm expected to do. And here's what God said, here's how it fits with the rest of the nature of God and the goodness of God, right? And how to make good judgments, not critical judgments, not unrighteous judgments, but godly judgments, okay? To understand justice, what does that mean in my life? What does it mean in my home? How can we be just with our kids, raising our kids? How to be equitable with our children and with one another in the house of God when we come to church? How to operate in discretion? How to operate in subtlety? That's the wisdom of God for our everyday life. These all work together. It's like a symphony. It's like our worship team. All these different instruments, but they're all working together to praise the Lord. And it's a power of success to our lives, putting these seven pillars of wisdom into practice. Now, I can't wait to come back next week. I don't know how you're feeling. We're going to take up our offering this morning, and we have a special treat. Bev, are you awake?
Sure.
Are you going to come play for us? Okay. So in the next 15 minutes while we wait for Bev to, she's coming. If somebody would help her get up on the platform. We're going to take up our, now listen, I want to explain how we're going to do the offering this morning. It's going to be different. Usually we pass an offering bag down each aisle. So to your light's on, by the way. He's got the light of Christ right over there. We're going to do it differently. So our deacons, when we start to do the offering, they're just going to, you can start up here in the front, and they're just going to walk, okay, between each row. And if you have an offering, and just drop it in the offering bag when it comes by. Now, if you've used one of the pens in front of you, just keep it. That's what they're for. Just keep that pen, okay? We'll replace it. We've got thousands of them. Just keep it for your own personal satisfaction that you have a Pebble Creek Assembly of God pen, right? The other thing, if you're visiting with us, if you're a guest, we would love to contact you, get to know you, kind of talk to you, if you have, answer any questions you might have about our church And so you'll see also in front of you a little card, a little guest card, welcome card. If you would also just fill that out real quick, there's not a whole lot of information on it. Just fill it out and also drop that into the offering bag when it comes by. We'd love to just get to know you a little bit more and thank you for being here in person. Amen. Amen. Let us pray over the offering. Brother Lynn, would you pray over our offering this morning, please? Amen. God bless your giving. Good to hear, Beverly. Now, please, Beverly, I'm just talking to them, but I mentioned your name, though. Thank you, Beverly. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Thank you.
That was terrible.
No. Was it? I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. What do I know? I don't know. Thank you, though. Now, the worship team is going to lead us in at least a song, maybe two, okay? So I'm going to ask you all to stand. If you have a need that you didn't get prayed for earlier, I will be up here to pray with you, for you. But I don't want anyone to leave here with an opportunity to use wisdom this morning and give their life to Jesus Christ. I did that when I was 19. And I look back at before I was 19 at my life and how much God has transformed me in the ensuing years, and God can do a miraculous thing. What you don't think He can do, he can do. But it takes wisdom to say, God, I know that what you can, here's your, I don't understand this. But you know what? A lot of times understanding comes with obedience. There's a lot of things I didn't understand in his word, but when I started to be obedient to it, then the understanding came later. Understand this. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And he's also your Savior, your Lord. He died for you. He took all of your sin, my sin, and he took it upon himself. He became sin for us. And he hung on a tree almost 2,000 years ago, and he bled and he died to pay what we could never pay. And the proof of that is the fact that Jesus Christ came back from the dead 3 days later, proving that he had the power over sin and death. He had the power. He defeated death. And those who place their faith in what Jesus did upon that cross can have eternal life, everlasting life, a relationship. That's what it's about, a relationship with God. So I want everyone to bow their heads, if you would. If you're in this place this morning, you might be in this place, but you know you're not right with God. You know that you're struggling with things in your life that God wants you to surrender, but you just can't. God can set you free today. You might be here and you know, you might come to church, but you know you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If that is you, if that is you, and you now desire in wisdom to have a relationship, I just want you to put your hand up so I can pray with you. Nobody else is looking around. If you want a relationship, you know you need to have a relationship. Look, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. If there's anybody in this room or even downstairs or even watching online that knows they need to have a relationship with Christ, just lift your hand. Would you all pray after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for Jesus, who died for me. Lord, I confess my sins, and I thank you that you took your sins upon yourself. Jesus, you died for me, and you rose again 3 days later. And by believing in what you did and who you are, I can have a relationship with Jesus, with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, amen. So again, this will also be our, after you've sung, worship, you're free to leave. I'm going to let you leave today. I've kept you long enough. I'm going to set the captives free. But before you leave, Sean and Becky have done something special for all of you, and that is they've made T-shirts, kind of like a welcome back gift for everyone that's attended our service today. So those are going to be outside in the foyer. So as you leave, there'll be, I think Becky and Angie will be out there to help everyone, just kind of tell them about what size. Now don't tell them your real size, okay? We're in church. Got to be honest, all right? Tell them what size you are. We're only able to give out who's here. So we can't give you necessarily. We got to make sure the people that are here today, that there's enough shirts for them. And now if there's any left over, then, you know, for your. See, that's the benefit of coming to church today. Amen? So don't leave without your shirt. They're really cool looking, too, so. Again, thank you all for being here this morning. What a great day back. Hallelujah. 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 I'll be up here. If you need any prayer, personal prayer, I have my mask. I'm ready. God bless you. Have a great day. Let's worship a little bit more together, and then you are free to leave. Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you, worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. For you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Oh, you're touching every heart.
You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship. Worship you.
Oh, you're the healer.
You are here. You're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Lord, you're turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you, oh God. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, and you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is. You're working, you never stop, you never stop working, you never stop, you never stop working, Lord. Even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working, you never stop, you never stop working,
you never stop, you never stop working, Lord.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. Oh, Lord, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
One more time.
Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, my promise keeper, light in the
Hallelujah.